You've tuned in to the All In IT Radio, where Kenneth and his co-hosts broadcast from their travels around the universe. Listen to them discuss anything and everything related to information technology. We are Swedes, and we talk tech. Welcome back to the All in IT Radio podcast. This time we are in a bit of a pickle, as we might sometimes find ourselves. A few episodes ago we were going to the moon, but I let Robin drive, yes. So we ended up on Mars.
Yes.
And actually, Mars isn't that bad. I mean, it's a nice place to visit. You don't want to live there, but still. And now we've been on our way home for quite some time.
And he still lets me drive.
And I let Robin drive again. I don't know why. So somehow a wormhole opened up and put us in a different part of, I don't know if it's our galaxy or if it's another galaxy or if it's a completely other universe.
Yeah, blame me for that, won't you?
It's always your fault, Robin. Mm-hmm. And the main problem is that we can't really communicate with our computers anymore. I mean, the onboard computer, it won't answer us. Or if it answers us, it's just gibberish. And that's sort of like communicating with Henrik, by the way. Hey, Henrik, you're here as well, right?
I think the computer still sounds like you, well.
Okay, that is a terrifying thought. If we passed in through some form of space anomaly and Joel somehow got interconnected with the consciousness in the computer.
Are we sure he isn't stuck in the computer still? Hello? Joel? Are you there? Knock two times if you are.
Oh!
Oh my lord!
It's him!
It's Joel!
Oh man, that explains why we can't communicate with it. Alright, we have to think of some new way to communicate with the computers. We need a new interface, stat, if we're going to turn this tub around and get back through the anomaly to our ordinary universe and to on our way back home, actually, to Earth. Whew. All right, how about that as a point of discussion today? What do you say? Computer interfaces? Input-output devices?
Yeah, sounds fun. We got time.
Yeah, why not? I mean, we probably can solve this problem only if we put our heads together. Right, Henrik?
I'm not sure, but okay. Let's give it a try, as we always do.
Thank you for your optimism and assurances.
I will never be optimistic when Robin is driving the ship.
All right, so the thing is, I made Henrik our morale officer and I made Robin our pilot. I think it should have been the other way around, really.
I like being a pilot.
I'm good at morale. We're all going to die!
Oh man, this is a disaster in every way. All right, you know what? Next time, if and when we finally get home, it will take some time before I go on an adventure with you guys again.
As for me...
I feel a bit alone now.
Well, you are free to go on an adventure with your own.
It's not that fun. Oh well, okay.
Yeah, all right, I go with you, Robin. I probably will. This will be forgotten in a jiffy. All right, let's get going. But first...
One cool thing!
Great! Thank you, one cool thing.
Sounds like a kid's show. My cool thing is my watch. It's quite new. It's a Forerunner 310 XT, it's called, and it's a GPS multi-sports unit where you can use when you are out running, biking, swimming actually as well if you're not inside in indoors, or well you can if you're indoors as well. In any case, it registers your time, the pulse, and how fast you're running if you're running. It's and also included a GPS inside, so it's a little bit bulky, but it's very nice because then you can just upload it to your computer and then you will see exactly where you have been. So it's quite nice. And it's also these, I don't know if you know this, it has this Ant Plus capability, so it's quite easy to connect with your computer. It keeps track of what I do when I run and bike, because otherwise I feel like it's not that fun. So I need some kind of incentive like this to make it fun.
What kind of software do you use to sync it on the computer? Is it something from Garmin?
Yeah, it's Garmin's own program. Okay. It's Garmin Connect, it's called.
Is it possible to export any data from it to... Okay.
Yeah, you can of course use, there are other websites online that you can download to as well, like jog.se or cykla.se. It's the same thing, more or less. So you can use it in many other ways as well.
Yeah, okay.
This is maybe not something for you, but I like it very much.
You've been on the lookout for some form of... Well, it's not a smartwatch, is it?
It's just for exercising.
It's a tracker, yeah, sure.
Yeah, with GPS. The thing is, I had this other watch before, a Polar watch. The thing with that is it's much sleeker and it looks much nicer, but this one got the GPS inside it, so I don't have to use my phone at the same time and then try to merge these two streams when I get it into the computer to get it to work. So this is much nicer.
So it was really the GPS that sold you on this particular...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it is. Otherwise, I would have used Polar because it's a nicer experience.
All right.
How does the GPS work? Does it show you the map on the watch itself?
You can if you like, but this is a black and white, very, very small one.
Yeah.
It doesn't make much sense at all.
Okay.
So I can, of course, put in maps. I can create maps in Garmin Connect, and then I can export it to my watch, and then it will... keep an eye on it. So if I go away from my trajectory or whatever you call it, then it will tell me, like, go back. You are under. You should go back to the course again.
Okay.
So that's how it works. The way I use it, if I want to use it that way.
Okay. Cool.
Is it bulky? Does it? I mean, if you go out swimming, does it hinder you in any way?
No. It's just a little bit heavy. But that's the only thing. It's I'm not completely sure. It's 72 grams.
Oh, all right.
If that tells you anything. And it's... Oh, never mind. I was thinking about the screen size, but I couldn't find it. It's very small.
Yeah. And it's almost 3,000 Swedish kronor.
Yeah, if you buy it from their shop, yes. You can get it cheaper from online, especially if you buy outside of Sweden, then it's cheaper. Like I did.
Interesting.
Is it worth the price?
Yeah, I think so. I like it very much. I think I bought it for just below 2,000.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm very, very satisfied. I use it every day to work.
Mm.
And then I get my how much calories I burn and my heart rates and everything and how long it takes to and from work, so I can compare. I'm a statistic freak, so that's very interesting for me.
Mm.
You sure are a freak. Running for fun, what is that?
This alternative must be much better for exercising than compared with a regular smartwatch.
Yeah, it is.
Seeing as they usually aren't built that tough
mm-hmm.
to withstand water and rain and hits directly on the watch, and
mm-hmm.
they aren't as rugged.
Yeah, and you can see most of the things you would like to see. You can see how far you have run and your pace and everything, and you can tailor it the way you want it to look.
Yeah, okay. Mm.
Okay, thank you, Robin.
You're welcome.
Do you want to go next, Henrik?
I go now. Is it 1 or 2 years back? I can't remember that I made a review of my alarm clock.
Yeah.
My Nexus 7.
Yeah, exactly. Your alarm clock.
I bought the Nexus 7 at the end of 2012. This is the 2012 model. So I got it early 2013. So I've had it for roughly 2.5 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first tablet, and I've been very happy with it so far. But over the years, or the last year, more specifically, since Android Lollipop, it has become more and more slow and hard to use. And since I've upgraded my phone to Nexus 5, the difference between the tablet and the phone in screen size isn't that much.
Mm-hmm.
So I rarely use my tablet to watch a movie or YouTube. I just take my phone instead because it's not that big of a difference. I've been on the lookout for a new tablet, something bigger, 9, 10 inches. I've weighed between the Nexus 9, but reviews said that it wasn't that very good built in terms of what the price you pay for it. And I was interested in the Nokia N1, but that tablet is only sold in China, so it's hard to import. So what I went for was this little solution.
A laptop.
sort of.
Yeah, it's a netbook or whatever you call it.
No.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's an iPad Air 2.
Oh, no.
With a key...
portable keyboard, no?
Portable keyboard, yeah. That also works as a case for it. Mm-hmm. It was the only good... I watched some reviews. Good keyboard I found that had this hinge that actually makes it look and work like a small netbook. Most of these cases are some sort of flip device where you put it in predefined angles and doesn't always work that good on uneven working
surfaces.
Surfaces, yeah, exactly. And, well, I'm not sure if I should review the Apple, the iPad Air or the keyboard.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Henry. Your time is now out. Your time is up. We will now continue with Kenneth, some real technology.
No, but the keyboard, is it all right? Or
yeah.
Or you're satisfied? Because if there's a keyboard included in the shutting...
It works as a case, so it protects the screen when I close
it. Yeah, I mean, then it must be terrible to use, no?
No, actually not. It's a Bluetooth keyboard. It's connected to this hinge with two magnets that are pretty strong. So if I want to just use the tablets on its own, I just remove it from this hinge pretty easily. Mm-hmm.
But why would you ever want to use it?
The keyboard.
The tablet.
The tablet. You're still there. Okay. Let me just finish up with the keyboard and we go to iOS later, okay? The keyboard itself, I've used it a bit over the week here since I got it on Monday. And I really like the keyboard. It has a pretty clever function to turn itself off after a few minutes, not to waste battery. It has a battery life of roughly 2 years, it said, if you use it 1 hour per day. It has a backlight keys function. And it works and has smart toggles for play, pause, and volume up and down, and those regular things. The thing I mainly get stuck on and don't like with the keyboard is that I think it's a netbook or a tablet or a laptop, not a tablet. So when I want to navigate around the tablet with, let's say, the arrow keys on a web page or in the tablet UI, that doesn't work, obviously. Mm. Those things are kind of frustrating when I have to use the touch function and then go to the keyboard to write. Mm. So, yeah, it's a bit of a something between the laptop experience and the tablet experience. And that's a bit clunky.
So, all in all, you should have bought the Nexus 9.
I'm not sure, but we'll get to that now. My experience with iOS so far is... I've not gotten that much into it. I mean, the first thing I did was download all the Google apps.
Yeah, okay.
And threw away all the iOS apps. So I use Hangouts, Gmail, Chrome, and all the other Google apps on an iPad. And that's not much of a difference, other than that the Google apps on iOS aren't updated as regularly. So they are a bit lagging behind. Some things that I don't like about iOS so far, I'm not sure if it's just that I haven't found the stuff yet or if it doesn't work like that. But the quick settings, for example, the quick settings on Android is much better right now than they are on iOS. If you go 1 or 2 years back, I think it was sort of on a par or the Android was lagging behind. But since Android Lollipop, Android has gotten really sharp. And many things like multitasking and productive functions and stuff like that are much better in Android currently. If you want to write stuff using the document apps and other things, that aren't as easily done on the iOS. Since this being my first experience with iOS, I'm not sure what to make of it, I'm afraid. I fell back to using most of the Google apps. So the thing I really like about this tablet so far is that it's very light and thin, and the battery life is great. But other than that, I might have just chosen the Nexus 9, to be honest.
All right.
So while you continue pondering that decision, Henrik, I would like to address our listeners and say that we will have an opening concerning hosts on this show. Rob and I would really like someone else to join us, someone who is not tainted and has not fallen in with a bad, rough crowd. So give us a call or leave a message on the webpage or send us an email and we'll have a chat about that.
Yes, please.
You can't complain about me being unbiased and open to try new experiences, even if they are bad. I do it so that other people don't have to do it.
All right, Henrik, when did you ever think that the All Night Radio is about being unbiased? Hello!
Okay, true that.
Yeah, exactly.
For your information, Henrik, I bought the Nexus 9, so you can borrow mine to see how it looks.
Ah, okay, good. The thing that worried me most was the build quality. So,
all right,
yeah. That's what I want to.
You can look at it.
Find out. Yeah, good.
Splendid.
Well, Kenneth, what's your OCT this time?
I now feel so bad that I
ashamed, filthy.
Filthy, especially.
After this, I feel actually a bit filthy. I feel a bit ill, so I will skip my one cool thing today. I'm not into it. Let's get on with the main segment. Thank you. So today we wanted to share with you and talk a bit about how we interact with computers. The thing with a computer is that it's getting better, smarter all the time, but it's not doing anything practical for us if we can't interface with it, if it can't communicate with the computer. I mean, we have to give input to it, and it has to give output to us. So the input-output of computers, the interface between computer, between the machine and the human, which is actually a subject I find very interesting, is what we will talk about today. But we won't get that nitty-gritty into it. We'll remain partly in the consumer space. So we'll start off by telling everyone what we actually have in our computer setup, what we use, and the main output unit is the screen. And my screen, or my screens, are the Samsung SyncMaster 2232BW. And they are old as I don't know what. 22 inches. And I got two of them, as I mentioned. I also have a keyboard, which is quite new, actually. I feel a bit dirty every time I use it, since it's a brand in Microsoft. But I will get to why I use this particular keyboard a bit later on. It's a Microsoft Sculpt ergonomic keyboard, so it's split in the middle. And it comes with a bundled mouse, which looks like some kind of cinnamon bun or something, I don't know.
Furby.
I have never used it.
It's a triple.
If it had been furry, it would have been a tribble, yeah. But it isn't, so I use a Logitech mouse. It's a corded M500. So it's one of their flagship mice. And it's got this detachable scroll wheel.
Ooh.
So if I push a button and I just start rolling that wheel, it will go on almost forever. So that's quite cool. If I push the button down again, it will click, 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 go in stages as it usually does. So that's my setup. And well, of course, we have my webcam, which could also be a part of IO, but that's not really what we focus on here. And we've talked about my webcam in a previous episode as well. So we'll leave that behind. So Robin, what do you use?
I use for screen a Dell Ultra Sharp U2711. It's a 27-inch screen with a resolution of 2560 and 1440 at 60 hertz. So it's quite nice. And I got the, as a mouse, I got a, like my father calls it, a train wreck. It's Mad Cat Cyborg Rat 7, it's called. And it looks a little bit special. Not for everyone, it's an acquired taste. But it's quite precise and very adjustable. So you can customize it to your hand for most people. And I like it very much. It's with a cord as well. And the same thing comes to my keyboard. It's also with a cord. And this is nothing fancy at all about it at this ordinary day electronic shop where you can buy something for 50 kroner. Claes Olsson, for you who knows. And I bought it because I had to buy something in a hurry, but I like this very, very much. It's a Trust Elite LED illuminated keyboard. And it does the things I want it to, and it's quite nice to press the keys. And that's what I want on a keyboard, and it's this backlighting as well. That's mine, my setup.
Fair enough. What about you then, Henrik?
My setup is quite similar to what Robin has, actually. My screen, if we start off with that, is a Dell UltraSharp U2713 HM. I think there's a 2713H as well, and it's a bit more expensive. I don't know the difference, really. But my screen, anyway, is 27 inches and has a resolution of 2560x4040, same as Robin, at 60 hertz. And it's the difference mainly between mine and Robin's is that my screen has LED backlight and Robin's screen has fluorescent tubes as backlighting.
Okay.
Robin's screen is more exact when rendering the colors, so it's better for, let's say, a graphic designer than mine are. But mine are much slimmer, smaller, and cooler. As in, not hot.
Burn.
Yeah, and Robin has a bit more inputs as well. I have one HDMI, one VGA, one DVI, and one DisplayPort, I think. And Robin has, I think, two DVIs and two HDMIs.
Yeah.
And component in as well.
And one for memory cards as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thank you for reviewing mine.
There you go.
It's a good thing you have a display port, Henrik, now that you will go the Apple route.
I don't know what you're talking about. Someone is a bit stingy here.
All right, move on.
Yeah, if we go to my mouse, I have exactly the same as Robin. A Cyborg or Mad Cats or Cytec, whatever they are calling themselves, RAT7. And as Robin said, it's adjustable. So the palm rest and is adjustable lengthwise. And you can also mount a pinky rest on the mouse, which I have done. You also have a sniper button at the thumb rest. So what the sniper button does is that it lowers the DPI to a resolution that you set, preset. So let's say you're in a game, that's the sniper button, what's the way it's called it. Or if you're working as a graphic designer and paint something or on the computer, the sniper button is really handy. You also have a horizontal scroll wheel for, scrolling horizontally, in addition to the ordinary scroll wheel. The keyboard I use is an ordinary Dell keyboard. It's called RT7D50. But it's a generic Dell keyboard, which are usually included in your workstation Dell computer. And I'm happy with it. The only complaint I have about it is that it is noisy.
Yeah, that's my complaint too about your keyboard, actually. This is the editor speaking.
That's what I'm looking for in a new keyboard. A keyboard that it's a bit more silent.
Thank you.
Both my mouse and keyboard is corded as well. So, no wireless.
All right. Interesting. We can actually see a sort of pattern here. Neither of you care anything about your keyboard.
The only thing you care about is the keyboard.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. Yeah, isn't it?
Well, I have to complain a little bit about that because I do care. If this would have been bad for me, I would have thrown it away.
What is it you like about your keyboard? You mentioned that you really like it, but why did you stuck with that Trust?
Yeah, well, the Trust, it's nothing, I suppose. It's nothing good at all. But for me, this is nice because the keys, they are not that high. It's quite slim.
Okay.
I like that because then it's not like this, like you hear when you type. You don't hear it as much. And it has a quite good response, I think, when you tap the keyboard. And sure, it's not the best, but for the price, it's really, really good. And I have no complaints, and I don't see any reason to throw it away or buy something else, because it's got everything I need, actually.
But what made you...
The thing is, I had to buy a new one, because my old keyboard, it died on me all the time, so I had to take out the USB and then put it in again. And that was very nerve-wracking when I played something, for example. And then in the middle of the game, it's like nothing happened, and I couldn't pause it either because I didn't have a keyboard. So then I had to throw myself under the table.
No keyboard detected, press F1 to continue.
Yeah, so I had to throw myself under the keyboard and put it out and wait it for a couple of seconds, and then put it in again. And then up again.
And the day you hit your head on the desk so badly that you got a concussion and ended up in hospital.
Something like that.
You decided that it was time for a new keyboard.
Yeah, so, and I have to admit that it's not like I know everything about keyboards. It's not really my thing. But I really looked into it a little bit when I come to this store, and what I wanted. And this works for me. What I wanted, it must be backlights, and it shouldn't have these huge keys that you need to use a hammer to put your finger on to get it to respond. So, and it's not like a laptop keyboard either, with no response. I think this is quite nice.
Yeah, and that is the most important thing. You have to be satisfied with what you have. You have to find something that feels good to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that can't be the same for every person. That is very individual.
But as I've heard from other people, it's like, well, you don't know what you're missing. Maybe that's why also.
Yeah, that might be true.
I'm satisfied because I don't know how it could be.
And Henrik, you have a really crappy keyboard.
It's not crappy. Come on. It's decent.
It's terrible.
No, actually, I love that kind of keyboard you have, Henrik. It's one of my favorites, actually.
It's a run-of-the-mill keyboard. I don't know what you call the design, but it's not a defined red block. But
it's not rectangular, no.
Exactly. So the keyboard is curved around the keys themselves.
There's no dead space outside of the keys. It's just the keyboard, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And... well, the mouse I care about, because that's what you use all the time. And I've used some pretty crappy mouses during my time. So when I found this one a few years back, 5 years or something like that, I fell in love with it instantly. And it, because it's customizable and has many options, I find it really good. And the screen as well. The screen is really important for, well, whatever you're doing. Playing games or working with a computer, the screen is what you look at all the time. The keyboard, I can't really decide what I want from a keyboard other than what I have. I mean, I just press buttons. I've looked into the keyboard market quite a bit and looked at, well, the gaming keyboards, and it's all these fancy mechanic switches in the keys and backlighting in different colors and a customizable row of keys. I can't really come up with any ideas what I should use that for. Mm-hmm. Why it should be better than what I have currently in relation to what I'm paying for it.
This is, I think it's the difference between you and me, what we like, because just that kind of keys that you use, the ones that are a bit higher than mine.
Yeah.
That's the thing I hate.
Okay.
I don't like that. But I think that's something wrong with me, maybe. I have no idea.
The keyboard I used before had those a bit higher keys, actually. And I liked it because I touch type, so I sort of hit the key with a finger and then leave the key so that it still moves down when I've left it,
okay.
If you understand what I'm trying to illustrate.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And that's quite quick. You're fast, but it generates quite a lot of sound.
Mm.
It does, yes.
And you can see I sent you a link, Henrik, in the chat. Your keyboard is an RT7D50.
Yeah.
There actually exists...
ah, quiet, it says.
An RT7D10, which has the added bonus of being quiet.
Oh.
That's what they say.
That's nice. Maybe I should go for that. That's not much. $50.
So you could actually upgrade, keep the same keyboard, but hopefully it's a bit more quiet.
Yeah.
And Kenneth will be very happy.
He will.
Yeah. And one thing about that Dell keyboard that I really like, and about yours as well, Robin, is that they don't have all these multimedia keys that became so popular for some reason.
Which you never use anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I never get that.
They're fancy and use them the first week, and it has a proprietary software where I can customize the keys.
Yeah.
And then a week later, you forget about all these fancy extra gadgets and never use them again.
Yeah.
I had volume buttons on my last keyboard, which was a Logitech Comfort cordless keyboard.
Yeah.
So it was also a split keyboard from Logitech. Unfortunately, they don't sell those anymore.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would have bought just a new one. I had that for like 10 years or something. I loved it. And the volume keys, I used that. Sure, fair enough. But all the other stuff, it's just in the way. It uses space that I don't want to be used. So the slim form factor of the Dell keyboard is really nice. But the Microsoft keyboard that I use is, well, it's not abundant in wasted space either. So,
well, you generally prefer the split keyboard design.
Oh, absolutely. I love the split keyboard. It feels so great working on it. And I mean, if you look at your hands and you hold them in front of you, you get a much nicer angle when working on a split keyboard, instead of having to sort of force your hands to be in a line.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
And on a regular keyboard, you move your hands a bit more over the keyboard from left to right as well than you do on this split design.
Unfortunately, this Microsoft keyboard does not come with a numpad.
Oh.
Or rather, it comes with a numpad, but it's a separate one.
Okay, that's a shame.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Wasn't it you, or was it someone else, who had this? I think it was a split keyboard with the numpad, but it was detachable. So it was a part of the keyboard, but you could also remove it if you like. That's sort of a clever solution.
I don't know if I've seen that. Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't use the numpad that often, but I mean, when you're paying bills and such,
yeah,
it's quite handy to have it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like yours, Kenneth. I wouldn't mind having one, I think, but I'm not sure.
But it's not backlit, so...
No, I like it, but I suppose it costs a lot more than mine.
You know what you should get, Robin? You should get Das keyboard with backlight.
Oh,
what?
Das keyboard, it's German, so Das keyboard.
Yeah, I know,
keyboard.
I know.
Yeah, it's a brand of special custom-made keyboard, which has, I think it has mechanical switches that everyone likes, these that are very noisy. Clickety click click click. And the thing with Das keyboard is that you don't have the function of the key written out on it. So if you want to spell a G, it doesn't say G on the on the key. It's blank.
It's completely black.
All of the keys are blank.
Oh, cool.
So you should get that with backlight.
Wow. Wow. I can imagine.
It's a hardcore keyboard.
Yeah, it must be.
I just looked up my Microsoft Sculpt ergonomic keyboard and the weird mouse. It will come to about 750 kronor. So it's not that expensive.
Okay. Well, it's not as bad as I thought, no. Well, maybe when this is done with.
But you don't have the backlight then, and that is something I would actually like.
Yeah, because the thing is, I don't really type that much. I'm not a heavy typer when it comes to my computer. I usually do it on my phone. And it's not like I'm typing novels or anything. So, maybe.
Yeah.
What? You mean you type more on your phone than on your computer?
I think so, actually.
That's weird.
That's scary.
Yeah, that as well.
That means I don't type that much.
Oh, but probably, yeah. All right, but you both chose the RAT, or is it RAT 7 mouse?
It's RAT. RAT 7.
But it's a dot between them. Isn't
yeah,
it?
It's cool.
It's a period. So R period, A period, T.
Yes.
RAT
7.
7 dot.
Exterminate.
Yeah, something like that. And it's really, I agree with your father, Robin. It's a train wreck.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked up images on Google just to see what it looked like. I know what it looks like, but to remind myself. And I mean, you can't see where the mouse ends and the junkyard starts.
And my wife, that is not really a technique freak, she didn't know it was a mouse when she...
Okay, that's interesting.
That is understandable.
Yeah, it is.
I don't blame her at all.
I think they have four different versions of it. RAT 3, RAT 5, 7, and 9. 3 and 5 are basically slimmed down or more or less, versions of the 7. They have lesser functions, or not as many functions. And the 9 is a wireless version of the 7.
Mm-hmm. But why couldn't you be satisfied with an ordinary mouse? Why do you have to have one that you can...
Because it's cool.
...build yourself? And why isn't a keyboard cool?
Because you just type, that's all you do.
Yeah.
There's not much difference.
But computers is about text! That's what they do!
Yeah, but you can't type cooler than you do. You press T, it makes a T.
I agree with Henrik.
Well, how much cooler are you when you use your mouse?
Let me try to explain to you. For years, I used a crappy HP mouse, wireless, yep, that was included with a computer I bought from HP. Mm-hmm. The mouse itself was terrible to start with. Mm-hmm. It had left and right mouse button. And it had a scroll wheel, that's all. It used 2 AA batteries, and the mouse itself didn't have an on-off button. So I used up about, let's say, 10 or 12 AA batteries per year on that mouse, if I didn't take out the batteries when I was done with the computer. Mm-hmm. And, well, the shape of the mouse and the everything about it was horrid, to be fair. Not if you just use the computer like you do at work or when you want to do something quick. But if you sit for a long time at the computer and use the mouse in various stuff, as I said, in games, or if you design something in Photoshop or similar stuff, I really wanted something to be either customizable or have more features, more buttons to use. A function you have on your mouse as well, I think, Kenneth and Robin also, is the 2 buttons at your thumb,
yeah,
for back and forward.
It's very handy.
And that's very handy when you browse the web. You get used to it very, really quickly to use the back and forward key buttons at the mouse. So that's a feature in addition.
Yeah, the back button I understand and I use, but the forward? Nah, not very often, no.
You use the back more, at least, than you do the forward.
Of course.
That's, of course. And everything else about the rat was really just a bonus. It looked cool.
Sorry.
And that's the main reason I went for it. But as time went on, it really grew on me. The thumb wheel, as I said, for horizontal scroll, in addition to the vertical scroll, it's really nice. The sniper button to load the DPS, I don't use it often, but say I paint or I do something in Photoshop, a quick way to load the DPS is really neat. And the customization with the palm rest and the finger rest and all the other stuff. I think you can also change the angle of the thumb rest.
Yeah, you can.
If you turn a screw on it.
Yeah.
And it's also weighted, so you choose how much weight you want to the mouse. And that's cool.
Majority says it's cool.
Yes. Case closed.
Yeah, right.
You said it, we are not unbiased here.
No, exactly. The thing about the Logitech M500 that I use,
yeah,
is that it's a form factor that Logitech has had for quite some time.
Okay.
With the Comfort Cordless keyboard, they sent a cordless mouse which had the exact same form factor.
What was it called, the model name of your mouse?
M500.
I think I used a mouse called MX1000 or something like that from Logitech.
Yeah, exactly. Same form factor.
Yeah, a wireless. That was really good.
And the M450 is the same form factor, and they have had a long line of mice that look exactly the same.
Mm.
And it's only the details that change. It gets a better laser. The first version was optical, and then they went into lasers, which is also optical, but not... I mean, was it infrared?
They understand what you
mean. Yeah, whatever. I mean, the technology moves on. And now this M500, it has... You mentioned you had a vertical scroll wheel.
No, a horizontal scroll
wheel. Horizontal scroll wheel, sorry.
And a vertical as well.
Yeah, of course. On the scroll wheel on the M500... You can tilt that left and right.
Yeah, so you can click in. Is it like clicks? So you can click with the scroll wheel to your left and to your right.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Yeah.
So you can lean it to the right or the left.
Yeah.
And then the page scrolls that.
Oh,
way.
Right.
Yeah.
So they've built that in. And 2 thumb buttons, and that's about it. And it's perfect. It fits my hand perfectly. I really, really like this form factor. And I really love this infinity scroll wheel that I can unhook and just scroll and let it roll.
Well, Logitech are really good at computer mice and have been for quite some time. Keyboards, I don't know. I haven't used that many Logitech's keyboards, but the computer mice, at least, they are very good at.
Mm, indeed.
Yeah, I love this one, and I would, I mean, if this one breaks for some reason, I will get another Logitech in this series.
Yeah.
I have to say, I've tried Logitech a couple of times, and it's not really my thing. I have no idea why. I get what you mean, but it's not my thing, actually. And I can't explain why. It's just, I don't like them.
They look terrible.
No, I'm not sure they look terrible. It's just the user experience for me is not that good.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe because I never learn how to use them properly. I don't know.
And I mean, every company has some bad products. You might just have been unlucky.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
But this is really what we're talking about right now, the input and outputs of a computer. That's definitely something that is subject to opinions.
Oh, yes.
Because everybody's different. And not just different opinions, but different in your body, how your hands are. And
what you use them for.
Exactly. And how you use the computer. Mm.
I mean, my hands are the size of a barn door, so I can't have too small a thing in my hands. But the thing I wanted to mention just before we move on from mice is that you mentioned the battery-eating cordless mouse you had, Henrik.
Yeah.
And that has really changed.
It has.
If you buy a cordless mouse that runs on a battery today, you don't have to change that battery for like a year or 2 years. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. And I think my experience with this HP mouse was either it was a faulty product or it just was a very bad model. It was included with the computer I bought.
But they were bad back then.
Yeah. Okay.
They were actually that bad.
I had another wireless mouse, as I said, and that was a Logitech, but it wasn't changeable batteries, so it had a charging station.
Oh, right. Okay, well, screens then. Why do you have the same screen?
Yeah, well, as you have already heard, Henrik more or less reviewed mine, and it's a reason for it, actually. It's because I bought his old one when he bought the one he got now.
Yes, exactly.
And why did you buy that, Robin?
Because I had a 24-inch and I liked the way it looked, felt very neat when I saw Henrik could have multiple windows up at the same time in a very good way. So I wanted that for myself. That's why.
Larger resolution, you mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah, it's actually the resolution factor that's the big deal.
You wanted more than 1080p?
Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
And I have the resolution 1680 by 1050. which isn't even HD.
Times two, so you have more like 3200 times 1050.
Yeah, something like that. Sure, I like it. But these are really, really, really old screens. Well, I actually have three identical screens, and one of them was the first flat screen I ever bought when my old Nokia screen finally broke. That was a really good screen as well, but it was large. So I had these for quite some time. And I couldn't work without having two separate monitors. That wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing I lack, I think, because I had two 24-inch screens before, and I liked it very, very much. And for me, it's very... They need to be the same model for me, because they must look the same. Mm. And my grandfather and grandmother's screen broke down, so I gave them one of mine, and I couldn't find a new one. And then I gave the other one to my father. So that's how I went from two to one. And then I thought, okay, this is a good way as well too. Now I have a big screen with high resolution, even though it's not two screens. Mm.
Yeah, I agree. You want, if you're going dual screen, you want to have the same model.
Mm-hmm.
I used two different models for many years, and yeah, it was clunky and didn't work as well. But that means also that if I'm going to change screens, I have to buy two screens. And I mean, monitors are cheap today, but two monitors, well, that's not that cheap.
No.
And what about you, Henrik? Why did you upgrade? Why did you diss the one Robin preferred?
The main pros with the new one I got is that it's much cooler, no pun intended. It really is cooler because it has a LED backlight. The old screen generated a lot of heat in my room, in addition to the heat that my computer generate.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big reason for it. The other reason was that it's much brighter and it's much more energy efficient and slimmer and lighter. Other than that, there are not much differences between your screen and mine, Robin. You have more inputs, and that's, of course, a con with mine.
Yeah, it's not like I use them every day, so...
No, you don't use them every day. But say, for example, the component input. I didn't use that every day or every year even that, but... Once in a while, one, two times, I remember I plugged in VHS cassette player to my screen just to be able to digitalize old VHS tapes. And it was really neat to be able to plug in the VHS player directly into the screen. I've never used another screen before that had that many different inputs.
Yeah, I understand.
And now I'm back to, well, one of each of HDMI and DVI and the usual.
I use the memory card slot sometimes.
You use it? Okay, yeah.
So that I like.
I didn't use it much because the computer is much closer to me than the screen are. So it's simpler for me to just go down to the computer than the monitor.
I need to go back in the back side of the computer and then I had to crawl on the floor. So this is much nicer.
No. Okay. Another downside with the change was that your screen is much better at displaying colors correctly. And I worked, not so much right now, but I've been working with print and graphic related stuff from time to time. And that monitor was really good at displaying colors correctly, which this monitor isn't as good at. But it isn't every day I use it for that.
But people need to know it's still a very good computer, a screen, I mean.
Yes, it's a good screen, yeah. And I mean, for most people, they don't do that stuff anyway. So. No.
But still, if I were to get a new screen today, I would choose a monitor with an IPS panel.
Yeah.
And that means IPS is the best, as far as I know, still the best on displaying colors correctly.
Is your panel an IPS?
Mine.
Yeah, it must be.
I think so.
Mine aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine is IPS.
I think we have the same. Mine is IPS and yours is HIPS. But the backlighting makes difference as well, so.
But has any of you used a calibrator for the colors?
Yes, I did. Sometime, I remember.
All right, on the new screen or the old one?
Can't remember. I think it was the old screen.
Because that could explain the difference that you're experiencing between how they show you colors.
Yeah, when I got the screen firsthand, I did a quick comparison between the two. And it was easier to calibrate the old one, that the one that Robin has right now, and get it to display colors correctly than this one. This, the new one I have gives a sort of bluish tint compared to the other one, which had more of a white backlighting. But the, you get used to it anyway. So, I mean, it's just when you compare the two screens that you really see it. And if you don't, as I said, use it for graphic or color precise work, it doesn't matter anyway.
I don't care much at all.
No, exactly.
And the difference can be explained by going from fluorescent to LED backlighting. So
yes, exactly.
That's probably it.
That's a small difference that most people don't care about anyway. The price range of our screens are, I don't know what yours would go for, Kenneth, since they are so old, but...
$50.
No.
$5? What is the input on your screens? Is it VGA or...
One DVI and one VGA each.
Ah, okay, yes.
And I searched for it and it's not possible to buy it.
Not surprised.
Not so strange.
No, me neither.
Robin's screen is not available to buy anymore and mine is on its way out. And my screen is not that old, it's just 2 years, I think. I bought my screen new for about 5,000 Swedish kronor. And Robin's I actually bought secondhand for a similar amount, I think. I think Robin's retailed new as about 7,000. Even those screens in the 27-inch range with the 2560 1440 resolution have gone down in price, even the Dell ones. So the current gen, I don't know what they're called, but say 2714 or 15 or something like that, are a bit cheaper right now. And most monitors are slowly falling in price.
Yeah, we can see one 2715H. You can buy it for 5,000.
Yeah, and that's the upgrade.
And that's a problem with new screens. I mean, if you buy a monitor today, they are generally larger than they were when I bought mine. And having two 27-inch monitors on your desk...
It's not possible, almost.
Yeah, it's possible, but it's hard. You have to really have the space for it.
When I had both 27 monitors on my desk, I had to, well... Let's say I had to...
Remove everything else.
Remove everything else, basically.
And you hurt your neck when looking from the far left to the far right.
I had to turn around 180 degrees.
But would it be possible, do you think, to have 27-inch monitors and put them and rotate them 90 degrees?
In portrait mode?
Yeah, in portrait mode.
Should be possible.
Yeah, it's possible, but I don't think you should go for
it. Sure, then it's high. You have to look up, but...
Yeah, but then you get to the problem that I had before I got the 27 monitor. I had two identical 17-inch monitors. And one 17-inch monitor isn't that big, but two gets a bit wider picture. They were 5x4 resolution as well, so they weren't 16x9.
I just managed with my 2 24-inch. That was borderline for me.
Yeah. And the problem I got was with those two screens, because they were very small, and I had two. When I watched movies, I didn't want to use one of them, because one was so small, so I watched a movie on both of them. And then I got a black bar in the middle.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And that's the problem you get, I mean, when you have two screens in portrait mode, because, well, you can't watch a movie on one of the monitors when they are in portrait mode. That's a very small picture.
But I don't watch a lot of movies on my computer anymore. So that might be a thing, but yeah. Well, I don't have the economy to go shopping right now, so.
For a work computer, it would be interesting to have two screens in portrait mode.
Mm.
If you use documents to read, or I think portrait mode would be much better, actually, than landscape.
Yeah, and I would like to wall mount my screens, but they don't have wall mounts on them, so I can't, but...
I can agree that I sort of miss having two monitors, since I went with one big. On many occasions when I'm doing full screen things, like for instance when we are playing games together, it would be nice to have a second monitor just agreed. Have for the video chat or text chat or other stuff, or a web browser.
But Henrik, didn't you have a USB connected second monitor, a small one?
No, I didn't. I borrowed one from our friend Johan.
All right, because he was playing with it the other day.
Yeah, okay.
In just that, to use it just like that. Because when he plays games with us, he uses his laptop.
Yeah.
But he can power it and send an image to it and extend his desktop to that external smaller monitor and use it as a Hangouts screen so he can watch us.
Exactly. It runs on USB power as well. So that's very handy. It's two USBs.
Yeah, that's a really good thing. I mean, you should get one, both of you.
I'm not sure if I should get, as you said, two identical monitors are the best case.
Yep.
If you can. But 2 27-inch or even bigger, 2 30-inch is not possible for most people.
No.
Other than our friend Jonathan, who uses 4 monitors.
Yeah, but that's extreme.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, he is.
So I'm more leaning towards having one big monitor as I have now and one much smaller, let's say 7 or 10 inches, just exclusively for stuff like text, video chat, or a web browser window. When I'm doing full screen work.
You have a crappy new tablet. You can get rid of the operating system on that and use that screen, right?
True that. I might look into it.
Fair enough. Are we done with our stuff?
It had an app called FaceTime. I'm not sure what it does, but...
Just shut up.
Skype, perhaps?
Yeah.
It's like Hangouts. You can... Video chat over Hangout,
Yeah, I know what it does. I just want to hurt Kenneth a bit.
Skype, FaceTime, I'm adding to the Kenneth Brinerov section.
It's so easy.
In Trello.
So many things you can put in there.
Yeah, it is. It has to be a segment. It's too much. Yeah, all right. Are we done with our stuff?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like that. So, guys, what do you think when you're looking towards the future, then? What do we have to expect? Will we continue using screens as output from the computer and a keyboard and mouse as input? I mean, if we talk like 5-10 years, like 40-50 years, or Star Trek time, what do we have to look forward to? Do you know of any cool projects on the horizon?
Before I go into specific projects, I would just like to speculate a little bit. So far, we have only talked about desktop environment, we should say. We haven't talked much about mobile input and output or laptops, for that matter.
No.
I wanted to say that before, because laptops is sort of a different environment.
It's a different breed, yeah, it is.
When you come to the keyboard on a laptop, you have a much greater use of specific special keys, like play, pause, forward, backward, volume up, down, than you have in a desktop environment.
You can change the light of the screen and such.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we will continue to use mice and keyboards as input for in a foreseeable future, at least.
Yeah, but I mean, will they look the same or do they look completely different, even though it's a mouse or a keyboard?
I mean, we could see a future where we exchange we probably would switch out all monitors for projectors of some kind. I mean, if we can get high enough resolution from a projector and you can do it the small enough distance between the wall and the projector, you could actually have an ordinary workplace desktop and a projector on the desktop beside you, projecting up on the wall or a screen or anything in front of you.
You think that will be something, not something in between, for example, Google Glass and the new
VR headsets.
Virtual reality headsets.
Yeah, the virtual reality headsets.
Yeah.
Maybe something mixed between them. Or maybe you're right, Kenneth. I have no idea.
Doesn't Microsoft have a project in that area?
Yeah, they have.
But it's not VR, it's AR, augmented reality.
Yeah, true. But that could be a combination. I mean, if you have something, if you have glasses or a Google Glass even that only covers one eye and you have a projector an image projected, you can interact with these to enhance the experience. And that is AR. And I mean, everyone's doing it now. NVIDIA has one. Microsoft has one. We have, what's the Kickstarter one?
I don't know.
What's it called, Henrik?
Is it a Kickstarter one?
Yeah, the virtual reality.
Ah, Oculus Rift.
Oculus Rift, yeah, exactly.
I forgot that's the Kickstarter.
Yeah. I've heard rumors that NVIDIA will be the winner in this race.
Did you mention the Steam, and was it Sony? Or
HTC, right?
HTC, yeah.
True. It looks quite nice.
But these are not made for work. These are just toys. These are made for games.
Yeah, but for me anyway, it's a short step between games and work. I don't think it requires much for the developers.
But if you're going to read a text on a screen, or if you're going to design a web page or a logotype or anything like that, why would you want to have it on your nose? Why would you want to have it in 3D?
If we're just spitballing here, I think that would be a quite good solution, because if you think away from the standard desk solution of a work environment, where you have to have a physical screen, quite big, in fact, and keyboard, mouse, and a physical computer, or a laptop for that matter. If you just had a pair of glasses with virtual reality or augmented reality that replaced the screen and, well, couldn't that work?
I think so.
As a first step, and still use mouse and keyboard in sync with that. That can work for most cases that we work with a screen like today. We just move the screen closer towards our eyes and makes it more portable.
Because you're just sitting there anyway by the computer, by the screen.
Yeah, and it gets more portable. You can have your work environment any way you like, more or less.
Hmm.
That's the problem with the projector idea, I think.
Yeah.
That's a downside if you compare it to a screen. Because if you have a projector, you must have a surface to projected on.
I don't believe that we will see any solution replace an ordinary monitor before we reach the DNI. A DNI is a direct neural interface. That is, you have some form of plug in your head and you jack in and then you're communicating with the computer.
And then the computers take over and kill us all.
Absolutely, that's the next step. But we will have fun until that point. I think we will reach that point before we see something that really competes with and makes the monitor obsolete.
You really think so?
Yep, I do.
Hmm.
On an individual level or on a group level as well?
I mean, we will probably have some form of Oculus Rift or such thing as a complement, as a thing on the side, sure. But it will be a niche thing for those who really, who have a lot of money to burn. And monitors will be the thing that we use for a long time still.
If for nothing else, because they are very cheap.
Yeah.
At least in compared to this new tech, because it's very new and it's not even out on the market yet.
It's an existing and proven technology.
Yeah, but monitors have been around for aeons.
And we have, when we're talking about interfacing with a computer, we have two movies that are often referenced, and that's the Minority Report and Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Both those movies have creative computer interfaces. And mostly it takes the form of holographic images that you actually can interact with. You can take the image that is projected in the air in front of you and change it. That's in the Iron Man one. In Minority Report, it's more of a floating monitor in the air, projected on nothing, that you can swish windows to the left and right just with a flick of a finger. And that isn't that far away, but... And actually, the hologram one isn't that far away either. I've seen holograms that you actually can interact with. We could be looking at... I mean, 1E3 or 2E3s from now, that's an electronic expo, we might actually see someone present a holographic interface that works.
I think so. Wasn't it Microsoft who... I think they didn't display a working prototype, I think, but it was more of a, what do you call it? A display of what they wanted to be on stage.
Proof of concept.
Yeah, exactly. More or less of a proof of concept of their augmented reality project. I can't remember what it's called. Something. Let's Google it. Microsoft augmented reality glasses.
Turn down the sound of your keyboard.
I will shop that later. Microsoft HoloLens is called, yeah. Okay. I believe that the augmented reality track is possible to be out on the market in a few years. Because that's more or less doing, what you say, hologram interaction, but simulated on a personal level. So you have the glasses that display the hologram, if you say so, for you. But it's not there physically, in reality, a hologram for everyone else to see if you don't have glasses, so to speak. So it's sort of the Minority Report interface, but cheating a bit.
But then again, there are so many things that you can't do with that. That is all good and well. Elon Musk showed this off. Was it February, early 2015? He showed off a similar kind of concept. They used Oculus Rift and they used a hologram projector of some kind. So he actually showed some scientists assembling a jet engine. No, it was a rocket engine for his space program thingy.
SpaceX.
Yeah, SpaceX. And sure, in that line of work, it's a good thing. You are building something very complex, and it's good to actually be able to see it in 3D, because that's how we people work. It's easier than looking on a screen. But if you're writing a mail to your girlfriend, or if you're playing a game, I don't know, do you really want to move a hologram in the air? That's not...
No, for a specific, I think, computer tasks, you're much better with a virtual reality pair of glasses. For traditional things like games or web browsing or writing emails or essays. Mm-hmm. But the HoloLens concept are really nice for other types of games. I mean, the things they displayed in their presentation was stuff like Minecraft, I believe, but tied into the real world. So they used Minecraft blocks to build on the dining table and stuff like that. And that's a nice tie into, well, the reality. And you get this sort of hologram experience. But for traditional UI interface connection, I admit that this solution might not be the best.
No. And that's the way I feel about it, is that this will be niche interfaces used by high-end gamers and, I mean, professionals in various areas.
Yeah.
But if we dial this discussion back a bit down to Earth again, more or less, we have people who try to create stuff that changes the way we use our current keyboard and mouse. And I've seen at least two different mouse replacements that you actually clip on your hand, either on your finger or over the palm of your hand. And when it is there, the hand becomes your mouse. Mm-hmm. So you can actually move your hand and in that way interact with the computer. And that is not too far from a plausible idea, a plausible way to use this technology, I think. Mycestro is one of those. And I had another one, but I don't remember what that was called.
Well, what I like about this is, like, you don't have to take your hands far away from the keyboard. That's very, very nice.
Exactly.
Back and forth all the time. The only thing I've been thinking about, but maybe that's not an issue at all, but I'm thinking about the wrist. How will it affect my wrist after some time? But I suppose it's no problem, because we use them all the time anyway.
That is a good question. The ergonomical statistics for these devices. I mean, they are brand new. We have a problem with the existing solutions.
Yeah.
Have any of you ever had problems with your hand from using a mouse too much?
Very rarely. It happened maybe a couple of times when you have sat by the computer for hours and hours, but no, not really.
All right. Henrik?
No. The most common problem I have with using a computer mouse is that I have very bad blood circulation, so I get very cold hands. But not only wrist problems, because I don't use the computer for that period of time. Such legs.
There are actually mice with built-in heater fans, so...
Ah!
They actually exist.
Interesting.
Now, I had a problem with my hands in... must have been 15 years ago, perhaps. I had a bad setup, so I had the wrong angle when I used the mouse, and, it started to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't sit at the computer more than like 10 minutes before it started hurting. But I figured that out and changed my posture and changed how I sat at the computer. And since then, I haven't had any problems, really. And the same thing can be true about these new kind of devices. I mean, we have to learn how to interact with them.
Yeah, exactly.
They seem to be more flexible than the solutions we have today.
Isn't that a bit chicken and the egg problem? I mean, we are used to keyboard and mouse because we had them for such a long time, but other solutions might be better, but then we have to learn them, and then they have to become the accepted norm and replace the old. That might be the answer because to why we're still using the keyboard and mouse, even if many people question why we do it.
I think so. I have a specific point, because with my phone, for example, you can download a bunch of different keyboards to your phone. And I've actually tried a couple of completely new variants with not the standardized keyboard. It's completely different. It's like an 8. The letters are in an 8 and stuff like that, and many different kinds. And they look very, very interesting, but the learning curve, it's so steep. So I get tired of it before I learn it decently.
Yeah. And isn't that part of the problem? The innovation must be so big that it actually makes a difference, but so small that people actually can comprehend it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
As you said, I tried a few different software keyboards touch keyboards on my smartphone. Mm. One I think was recommended by you via Kenneth Flexi.
Yeah, I tried that for some time, but I got tired of it actually.
Yeah, okay. I tried it for first 2 or 3 weeks. The first week, I was really frustrated with it and wanted to throw it out. But I gave it some time, just to be fair. And that's the main keyboard I use now.
Mm.
The swipe functions are the main difference, in my opinion. To swipe right, make a space, and swipe right again to make commas and dots and punctuation marks. And swipe left to erase whole word. And it's another way of thinking, but it's not that big of a leap or difference to traditional touch keyboards. So it was actually possible for me to learn it in a few weeks' time.
And people are trying to implement touch technology at the workplace, at the ordinary computer as well. I mean, every monitor today are supposed to be a touch-enabled monitor, which I think is hilariously stupid, but still... That's for another segment. And some try to replace the mouse and keyboard with, I mean, a touch interface in front of, that is detached from the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that you can create the keys that you need at the moment and change the look of the interface with the computer as you use different applications. And we've had one of those are old by now, but you put up a little box and it uses a laser to project a keyboard onto the desk in front of you.
Yeah.
And then it registers what key, virtual key, that you press. And that's used to connect to tablets, but ordinary PCs as well. But you lose a lot of the feeling. I mean, we use touch a lot when we interact with computers, with keyboards and mouse. You use your senses in your fingers to interact with a higher degree of precision that you can without that sense.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that precision, it goes away when it changes as well. When the screen or the background or whatever, it changes. That's the difference when going from a, when you went from the normal QWERTY keyboard or the, what do you call it? The candy bar, right? The candy bar keyboard on your phone to a touchscreen that you, all of a sudden it changes all the time. Different menus instead of the candy bar, for example, where you got your keys and you know what they do. And yeah.
But this isn't a new thing, changing keyboards. I mean, we've been doing that for a long time. Just think of Dvorak.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, we use QWERTY keyboards at our computers today. But the Dvorak keyboard is supposed to be a lot faster when you finally learn it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're writing in English. It's not really... Well, there are versions of Dvorak that are...
In Swedish as well.
Yeah, that they are based on the same theory.
Yeah.
Statistical theory, but for the Swedish language. Yeah. So you can get one of those.
It's called Svorak.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Of course it is. Have you used, any of you, a Dvorak-based keyboard?
5 minutes, and I was frustrated.
Yeah. Me as well, approximately.
That's another example of my point that I stated previously, that it has much to do with tradition and what is already stated as being normal. Because QWERTY are not a norm. It was just invented. And it's a legacy that we are still using today for really no good reason other than that it's the accepted norm.
Like Flash?
Yeah, sort of, but that's dying.
No, it's dead.
It's not dead. One of the links we had today was to the BBC.com website. And the video clip, it says you need to install FlashPlay to play this content.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's dead. We have all tried the Kinesis Advantage keyboard.
Yeah.
And that is a very special bird.
It is. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of similar to what you're using, a split keyboard. Mm. It's in the same area.
But much more advanced.
Yeah, it's more advanced.
Yeah, but it's more extreme. But so it's sort of two bowls with keys on the inside. So it's still a QWERTY keyboard, but they try to make it so, I mean, if you look at your hand, fingers have different lengths, of course.
Exactly.
And the theory here is that you should then have curved areas for the keys so that you don't have to bend your fingers more than necessary.
Exactly.
And it's also really split, so it's a bowl on the left-hand side and a bowl on the right-hand side. And then in the middle, you have a few keys that you use your thumbs for. I mean, I've used it for like 5 or 10 minutes tops a few times, and I can't really come to grips with it. But they say that if you give it a week, you can't live without it.
I tried it for, I think, a day or so, and it was... I got past that first frustration. But I was still struggling with finding a few keys. But as you said, it from default, it's a QWERTY keyboard, QWERTY layout. But you can, of course, change it on the computer if you like. But yeah, I like the idea completely. If I would buy a new keyboard, I think I would go for something like that layout.
But then it's like 3,000 kroner or something.
Exactly.
It's insanely expensive. And that can be also part because we are in Sweden and we are a really small market.
Mm.
If you want R letters or Ö on a keyboard, we can't buy an American or English keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
We need a special made one.
Doesn't our keyboards look the same? But the difference is that the where is actually printed on the keys.
Yeah, they change position of some different kinds of...
I don't think we have more keys on our keyboards, but they...
Yeah.
They have other functions on the...
Yeah, like question mark, keys. For example, is not at the same place. And the at sign or many of these signs are in completely different places.
You know, since my time at the university, I have no problem working with an English layout on the keyboard. I know where their keys are, where they have their keys mapped. But when you asked that question, I couldn't for the life of me remember any of it. It just, my mind switches keyboard layout when I notice that I'm on an English layout keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just works. That's strange. Oh, well.
But I think the Kinesis solution is sort of close enough to what we have currently with traditional keyboards to be able for the big mass to actually grasp compared to some of the other input solutions that we've seen out there. that are much more niche and brave in their exploration of new ways to interact with their computer.
True. I had another example of creative thinking that I would like to mention. It was actually supposed to be my one cool thing, but someone almost forced the breath out of my lungs with a sucker punch.
You asked for it. You didn't want to know beforehand.
And if I had known, you would have been censored. Anyway, it's the ultimate hacking keyboard, they call it. And it's really a split keyboard. You can actually just
detach,
take it apart in the middle. And it's connected via a wire. I like the look of it. It's really, really tight. It's small, it's fit, and you can get the angle you prefer. It's portable. And they seem to have put a lot of thought in the keys themselves so that it will be a good feel when you touch type. But, I mean, this won't come in a Swedish version anytime soon. And it's quite a lot of money, I think. I don't remember what they were asking for. It was a Kickstarter, wasn't it?
No, was it?
Subscribe to be notified when our Kickstarter campaign starts. Yeah. So they haven't even Kickstarted it yet.
Okay, I thought they made a batch, but I must be wrong.
Yeah, they might have. They might have done a trial run or something. And they have a mouse interface, a mouse overlay, so you can use keys to control the mouse if you want to. But yeah, I don't
know. Maybe I missed that you said this, but this is also a keyboard without a number pad on the side. Not existing one.
Yeah, so that's true.
If you need that.
And in this case, you'll have to get a separate numpad if you want one.
But isn't this keyboard aiming more towards being portable?
I don't think that is one of their specific goals.
No, okay.
It's absolutely more portable than a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the look of it. I really do. But it's often some sort of detail they've forgotten. And then there's another thing before we wind this up. If you look at security, I mean, the security in a wireless keyboard is seldom good.
Yeah,
you can often pick that up if you're just in the vicinity. And I have the absolute worst case scenario. I mean, a cordless mouse isn't that bad. You can't get that much out of mouse movements. But I have a corded mouse, and a keyboard should really be corded, but I've got a cordless one. So out of a security standpoint, I have the worst possible setup. And that's a frightening thought, to think that my neighbor can see every key that I press. I mean, that don't fill me with happy thoughts.
That's exactly why I went for a corded setup.
Well, I mean, your router, Kenneth, it's quite safe. It's 580 letters or something. So it will take them a millennia or something before they can hack that one.
Yeah, but the cordless keyboard does not go through the router.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
No.
This is a Microsoft, their own technology, and I don't know if it's even encrypted. This is one of those things that people forget about, that a cordless keyboard actually can be hacked. It's not Bluetooth, it's some other kind of signal, but yeah, that is a problem.
Okay, so now everyone knows. If someone listens who live close to you, they know exactly what to do.
Absolutely. You can stand on my balcony and see what I type.
I already do that.
It's not that interesting.
Yeah, if you're on my balcony, you can... Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I already do that.
Yeah, and how interesting is that?
Very.
From one to not...
Not really.
No, true. Yeah, so that is something to think about as well. If you're going with some kind of creative solution, the mouse, sure, let it be without a wire. That doesn't matter. Perhaps it matters when you game and you want the lowest latency. But your keyboard, yeah, it should really be wired. But there are no split keyboards that are wired. Yeah, sorry. I'm a bit frustrated about that. All right. Do you have anything to add on this subject?
Well, I will add one thing. The keyboard you're talking about, this one, the Ultimate Hacking Keyboard, you like the look of it. I think it looks like a toy from Toys R Us for kids. When you press a button, then it will make some kind of a noise. That's what I think it looks like. I just want to add that.
Oh, you're a sad and bitter little man.
I saw a very funny video of... it was a toy for children with a numpad on it, and it was sort of a phone where you called animals or something like that on a farm. I don't know, I'm not sure. But it was a very short video where they dialed 911. And it reads out for you in a woman's voice back to you. So he said, 9-1-1, nice to talk to you, pig.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, that is the future of interacting with computers. 9-1-1, good to talk to you, pig. All right, thank you guys. I feel a bit better now when we've discussed how interfaces with a computer can possibly work today and how it might possibly work tomorrow. We are hopefully homeward bound by now, but we'll have to see about that. We have some housekeeping to do. I have a shout out to a few of my students who finished school this last semester. I really enjoyed having that class with them, and they asked me to give them a shout out in the next episode, so that's what I'm doing. Especially to Sanna. Hey, Sanna. And all of the others in 12TE. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you will continue to listen on the All in IT Radio. And keep in touch, will you? When you make great things in the world of yourselves, come back and let us know at least where you've gone and what you've done with yourselves.
Wow, Kenneth, I'm almost teared eyes.
You are, all right? Yeah.
Yeah, because this is amazing. You usually talk about your pupils in another way, so most of them you hate.
Yeah, but there is a great difference, yeah. Robin. These are ex-pupils.
Oh, all right. That's a
I don't have to have anything with them to do again.
That's why.
Really. So now I love them. It's great.
So if you would like to be interviewed on our podcast, please keep in touch and drop us a mail.
So, I mean, the pupils I have, I can't get rid of, so that's a whole different story. But
so you like them because you got rid of them, that's why. All right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah. And we have another piece of housekeeping to attend to. We've got a mail from someone who calls himself, or herself actually, Symbolic Infection. We didn't get a name, right?
No,
we didn't.
A fan mail, right. Yay!
Yoo-hoo!
Yay! Thank you very much. And we love that you keep in touch and that you get in touch with us when you have something on your mind. And Symbolic Infection thanked us for the podcast and had a few suggestions for topics that we might cover. And good ideas, absolutely. We might actually get to a few of those. And we got another endorsement for the Kenneth Hates segment. So we'll have a look at that.
Just piling up.
Yeah. So thank you very much for your email. And I hope you've received our answer to it as well. If you want to send us an email, where do you turn to, Henrik?
show@aiit.se.
Absolutely. And if people want to get in touch with you specifically, Henrik, where do they turn?
Easiest by Twitter. My handle is at Warpfuzz, WARPFUZ.
And Robin, where do people find you?
They can come in touch with me on Google+. That's where I look, actually. Most of the time, it's my name, Robin Harming, at Google+. And it's not that many people, I suppose, with that name, so you will find me. I'm not active on Twitter anymore, but you can still find me there at the same name. But I'm just watching and observes what's happening in the world.
I think it's interesting that for every episode, Robin's explanation of how to get in touch with him gets longer and more complex. And it's filled with explanations and excuses. I'm sorry, but I don't really am. And sometimes every other Saturday I check this and... Yeah.
A few episodes from now, it will be his own segment.
The Get in Touch with Robin segment.
Don't contact me, that's the best way.
And this time it has changed. Alone. Now you can only contact him through Pinterest and Tinder.
Ooh, that day I will kill myself.
Yeah, that was a low even for you, Henrik. All right, fair enough. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can go to Twitter at Altinomite, Altinomite, and on Google+ as well. You'll find all the links for that in the show notes. Henrik, what did we listen to today?
I'm glad you asked, Kenneth. The song we listened to today was titled Galaxy, and it was by Sirius. It is available on Jamendo under a Creative Commons license, CC BY 2.0 FR.
So they're from France, right? And you will find the link to the music in the show notes as well. All right, guys, let's see if we can turn this tub around and actually find our way home this time. And once again, I have learned that you should never let Robin drive.
Why not?
Yeah, you you can act innocent how much you want, Robin. It doesn't work.
Oh.
Henrik, take the helm. We're going home.
Oh, it was so fun.
Let's go!
Let's talk Swinglish.
Yeah, let's
talk English.
Mutilate the English language as we try to communicate in a most unnatural way.
Possible.
Hello.
All right. So, Robin, I guess you will go over time with your one cool thing.
I'm not sure about that.
No?
I can be effective if you want me to.
That's a first. All right.
Yeah.
I will go over time.
But Henrik will of definitely course, will, go over time.
You always go over time.
True that. So, Robin, remember to ask very strange questions to Henrik during his presentation. And
yeah, the thing is, I don't know.
Even don't usually do that.
The thing is, it's hard to know because I have no idea what he will talk about. So
yeah,
I have no time to prepare myself.
No, you can make up questions.
Yeah, stupid ones.
I assure you will ask me questions. We must do that segue in a chorus sometime. One cool thing, one cool thing, one cool thing.
Any finishing words?
Sorry?
Any words to finish that off?
Any words in Finnish?
Yeah, I think so.
Eisapeite.
Eisapeite, great. Okay, thank you, Robin.
You're welcome.
Do you want to go next, Henrik? Or do you want to go out last?
Yeah, sure. No, I go now.
All right. Shoot.
Bye-bye. Okay. Flör.
You mean it? All right.
Yeah, sure.
That's because you didn't have one.
Now we can include that one in the main discussion later, so it's not that important. And you two really...
Yeah, expanded.
I mean, we're talking about 2 minutes, but you went five each, so...
I thought of that before we started recording. Maybe we should just... up the minute limit on the one cool thing, because I don't think we have keep the 2 minute marker.
Yep. Well,
ever.
Yeah, we.
I keep it.
I
Robin,
usually
you keep
do.
It.
Okay.
Actually,
it's only you.
Okay. Well, the problem is, I think that 2 minutes are very good just to talk about the thing for yourself, but when the two others start ask questions,
that's why I got the problem this time. They usually don't ask me that much, but this time I got the questions.
Yeah, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with one cool thing is it's supposed to be a one-off tip. I mean, but this turns into more of the latest gadget reviews.
Yeah.
Do we record so seldomly? I mean, if we recorded more often, then it wouldn't be noticeable.
Mm.
Because then we would have one cool thing being a cool website or something we've seen, and that would only take a minute and a half.
Mm.
So I think it's really more of we perhaps should think about new segments.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
We might want to do a gadget review segment.
Yeah, and not include it in every episode, perhaps.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they keep
as
the one
we're
cool
thinking about the Kenneth Hates segment, I mean, perhaps that's a thing. We should have different...
Yeah, because so far we only have two segments, the main discussion and the one cool thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it wouldn't hurt,
no.
But
no.
We can discuss that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
What about you, Kenneth?
We've already done things.
Yeah, you're right, actually. I'm sorry.
Come and touch on me?
Did I say that?
Take on me.
I don't
me.
Think so.
Take on me.
My unfortunately, the
digital...
That one.
Hey. Digital. Hey. Den digitala neuraliska interfacen, menar du?
A direct neural
interface. Ja, direkt, förlåt. Ja.
Yeah, a DNI is a direct neural...
You see, it's hard.
It is hard.
But on our way home, we might end up in an accident and go through a wormhole and then end up in a different universe.
In a different universe, you say?
That's very advanced.
Or a different galaxy, if you want it more down to Earth, so to speak.
That's included in the...
That's a blooper.
Yeah, that's a blooper. Boo.
Boo this man. Boo. Yeah, that was a low mark even for you.
first and foremost, I would like to make a short shout out. I haven't mentioned this to you, but I have some pupils who left my class. They
left your class like they didn't like it and you were a dictator.
Yeah, it sounded
and they
bad.
Said, shun him and run out the door.
Yeah.
Okay.
Henrik, what did we listen to today?
I'm glad you asked, Kenneth, because this time I actually prepared and looked in the Trello note beforehand. But what do you know? For next episode, we actually have a song. This episode, not so much.
Yeah, I know.
Should I take the next song then?
Yeah, well, we can do that.
Okay.
That's all right.
I'm glad you asked, Kenneth.
All right, that was an outro. Bad as it was, it still was an outro.
I'm trying to act here. Mm-hmm. It's you at the stage, yeah. And I don't like the stage to begin with.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter. The stage doesn't like you either, so...
I see now that my recording is including a lot of clipping, so have fun.
Thank you.
Or not a lot, but some.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I can work with that. All right, so let's do an intro. How does intros work?
Hello!
Yeah, I know. I mean, I have your version of the intro ringing, echoing in my head forever. So I forget what I'm supposed to say.
Welcome to Sweden.
We're not in Sweden anymore.
Welcome to...
Outer space.
Yeah, welcome to outer space, Sweden.